3 miles. That number is sitting in your logbook right now, whether you think about it or not. It's in the back of your headset the moment you push the throttle up on a hazy afternoon, and most pilots I fly with can recite it in their sleep and still get it wrong when it actually counts. I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern here on Radio Hangar. Today we're going to talk about the one regulation that stands between you and the inside of a cloud. Federal Aviation Regulation 91.155, the basic visual flight rules weather minimums. Now I know, the word regulations makes half of you reach for the dial. Stay with me, because this is not a rule you memorize for the check ride and forget. This is a rule that is quietly protecting your life every single time you fly in visual conditions, and I want you to understand not just what it says, but why it says it. Let's walk through this together. Before we do, quick word about some folks I genuinely like. Shout out to our friends at AviationSoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot, instrument, commercial? They've got you covered. It's a great way to mark the milestones that matter. The ones your family may not fully understand, but you'll never forget. AviationSoul.com. Okay, here's the heart of it. When you fly under visual flight rules, the whole system is built on one assumption. You can see the horizon to keep the airplane upright, and you can see other traffic in time to avoid it. The entire concept of see and avoid lives or dies on visibility and on your distance from the clouds. So the regulation gives you two things to worry about: flight visibility, measured in statute miles, and cloud clearance, measured in feet, how far you have to stay below, above, and horizontally away from any cloud. And here's the part that trips people up. Those numbers change depending on what airspace you're in and how high you are. It is not one set of numbers. It's a little table, and I'm going to give you the whole table right now in a way you can actually carry in your head. Let's start with the airspace most of us spend our lives in. Class Echo. Below 10,000 feet, that's the controlled airspace that covers most of the country once you get a little ways off the surface. Here's your magic phrase. 3152. Say it a few times. 31523 statute miles of flight visibility, 1,000 feet above the clouds, 500 feet below the clouds, and 2,000 feet horizontal, meaning sideways, away from the clouds. Some instructors teach it as the Cessna 152 trick. 3 Cessna 152, 3152, whatever gets it to stick. That's your bread and butter number for class Echo below 10,000. Why those specific distances? Think about it from the other side. Imagine an airplane flying on an instrument flight plan, popping out the bottom of a cloud layer, or a faster airplane skimming just over the top. That 500 feet below and 1,000 feet above is the buffer that gives both of you a fighting chance to see each other and turn before it matters. The 2,000 feet sideways does the same thing for an airplane hugging the edge of a buildup. These aren't random numbers, they're reaction time converted into feet. Now, same class Echo, but climb above 10,000 feet mean sea level. The numbers get bigger, and there's a good reason. Above 10,000, you're allowed to go faster. There's no 250 knot speed limit up there. The way there is down low, faster airplanes eat up distance quicker, so you need to see farther and stay farther from the clouds. So above 10,000 in class Echo, it becomes 5111, 5 statute miles visibility, 1,000 feet above, 1,000 feet below, and 1 statute mile horizontal. Notice the horizontal jumped from 2,000 feet to a full statute mile. That's a big change, and here's a little gotcha the examiner loves. There's one narrow exception. If you're at or below 10,000 feet, you use 3152 even in class Echo. The moment you tick above 10,000, you switch to 5111. The switch happens right at that altitude. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. Do not try to derive these numbers with logic in the airplane. You will not have the brain space when the haze is closing in and you're getting task saturated. Memorize them cold. 3152 down low, 5111 up high. Make them reflexes. Let's talk about the other airspaces, because they matter and they're actually simpler than students expect. Class Charlie and Class Delta, the airspace around towered airports, same as Class Echo below 10,000, 3152 3 miles, 500 below, 1,000 above, 2,000 horizontal. Nothing new to learn there. Good class, bravo. The big airspace around the busiest airports, this one is the odd one out and it's actually the easiest to remember. In Class Bravo, you need 3 statute miles of visibility and your cloud clearance is simply clear of clouds. That's it. Clear of clouds, no 500 below, no 1,000 above, just don't fly through one. Why so relaxed on cloud clearance? Because in Class Bravo, everybody is talking to air traffic control. Everybody, you cannot be in there without a clearance and radar service. So the controller is providing separation that out in Class Echo, you're providing yourself with those buffers. The clouds matter less when a controller is keeping everyone apart. Then there's Class Golf, uncontrolled airspace. The stuff near the surface out in the countryside, below the floor of the controlled airspace. This is where the rules get the most flexible, and honestly the most dangerous, because flexible does not mean safe. Down in Class Golf during the day, at or below 1,200 feet above the ground, you need 1 statute mile of visibility, and you must stay clear of clouds. 1 mile and clear of clouds. That's the legal minimum. Let me say something as your friend and not as a rule book. 1 mile visibility clear of clouds is legal. It is not a good idea. 1 statute mile at 90 knots means you are covering that entire mile of visibility in about 40 seconds. 40 seconds of warning for anything ahead of you. I have flown in 1 mile visibility, once, early on, and I promise you it does not feel like flying. It feels like driving through fog with your family in the car. Legal and wise are two different check rides. At night, Class Golf tightens up, and there's a newer wrinkle worth knowing. For most operations at night down low in golf, you're looking at 3 miles and the standard 500 below, 1,000 above, 2,000 horizontal. There is a limited exception for flying in the traffic pattern, within half a mile of the runway. But do not build your night flying around exceptions. Build it around margins. Now, let's make this real. Let's fly a scenario. You're a fresh private pilot. It's late afternoon in the summer. You planned a cross-country a week ago. The weather looked great then, and you really want to go. You get to the airport, and there's a broken layer sitting at about 3,500 feet above the ground. Field elevation is near sea level, so call it 3,500 feet on the altimeter for the cloud bases. You're in Class Echo once you climb up a bit. Reported visibility is a hazy 6 miles question. Your planned cruise was 4,500 feet. Can you legally fly it? Let's think. Cloud base is around 3,500. To stay 500 feet below the clouds, you'd have to cap out around 3,000. To fly 1,000 feet above them, you'd need to climb through them, which you cannot do under VFR without going through the cloud. And that's illegal and unwise. So your 4,500-foot plan is dead. You're squeezed into a layer beneath the clouds, and now you have to ask whether the ground is rising ahead of you into that ceiling. This is exactly how a good pilot talks themselves out of a bad flight. Not because it's illegal, but because the rule forced you to do the math that revealed the trap. Second scenario. Your VFR on top is not what I mean here. Let me give you the sneaky one. You're cruising in Class Echo below 10,3152 is your rule, and you've got scattered puffy cumulus building around you on a warm day. You're weaving between them, feeling great. Then you realize the one you're about to pass is closer than you thought. Are you 2,000 feet from it horizontally? Not 1,500, not 1,000, 2,000 feet. That's most of a runway's length of sideways space. Pilots blow this one constantly because clouds don't come with tape measures. When in doubt, give them a wide berth. The regulation is telling you something the haze is hiding. The examiner is looking for exactly this on your check ride, by the way. The Airman Certification Standards for the Private Pilot under Pre-Flight Preparation, Weather Information, expect you to know these VFR minimums cold and apply them to a real forecast. They're not going to ask you to recite 91-155 like a poem. They're going to hand you a scenario, a ceiling, a visibility, an airspace, and ask, can you legally make this flight? And the honest answer sometimes is no. Being willing to say no is part of what they're grading. Here's a takeaway you can use on your very next flight. Before you launch on any marginal day, physically look up the ceiling and the visibility, then say out loud which airspace you'll be in and which set of numbers applies. 3152, or 5111, or clear of clouds. Say it out loud. There is something about hearing your own voice commit to the numbers that catches the mistake your eyes want to make. And one more, because it's the one that saves lives. These are minimums. The floor, not the goal. There is a special weather category called marginal VFR, ceilings between 1,000 and 3,000 feet, or visibility between 3 and 5 miles. And the accident record for VFR pilots pressing into marginal and lower conditions is genuinely grim. The single deadliest thing in general aviation for decades has been VFR flight continuing into instrument conditions. This rule, 91-155, is the guardrail. Your job is to stay well back from the guardrail, not to lean against it. Learning to fly is hard. It is expensive. It asks a lot of your time and your family's patience, and days like the one in our scenario, where the weather says not today, can feel like the airplane is mocking you. I know, but the pilot who scrubs the marginal flight is not the one who lost. That pilot is the one who flies for another 40 years. The numbers came straight from Federal Aviation Regulation 91-155 and the Private Pilot Airman Certification Standards, and if you want the exact table, it's worth reading the regulation itself and keeping a copy in your flight bag. You'll find more of these regulation breakdowns over at radiohangar.com. 3152. Say it on your way to the airplane tomorrow. And when the sky tells you the honest answer is no, be the pilot who listens. I'm Pattern. Keep the shiny side up, and I'll see you back in the pattern.